You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Amen. Hallelujah. Today, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1. We'll see if we get there. I just know I am. You know, I don't use notes. I actually had some notes today up here with some things. I don't know why I even put them up here, because all they do is hang me up. But but Isaiah chapter 1 talks about, in fact, in the first chapter in the, the 18th verse? Yes, it is. Come, let us reason together. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Awesome scripture, but I don't think sometimes we meditate on that. You know, faith, believing God and trusting God, and reason and logic are not necessarily opposed to each other. I think we have the idea that you're either going to be reasonable or you're going to be trusting and you're going to use your faith, as if faith were against reason or reason were against faith. But that's not really the case. Faith is never really against true reason or true logic. It's against a lot of times human logic and natural logic, because human logic, natural logic, many times leaves out God and leaves out His Word. But, you know, if you're going to be reasonable and logical about anything, you want to take in all the information you can, get all the facts. I mean, that's how you solve cases, you know, when you have criminal cases. They listen to all the sides. They take witnesses. They do DNA tests. They have circumstantial evidence. They take in all the information they can, because they can understand just getting one side of a story is not the whole story. And so it would be illogical to say, well, we're not going to take any circumstantial evidence, or we're not going to take any DNA. We're not going to take any witnesses in this case. We're just going to judge this case on part of the facts or part of the information. See, and that's where I think we get the idea that if you believe God or trust God, that you got to go against your reason. Well, you don't have to go against reason per se. You have to go step out and get information that your reason doesn't give you and logic doesn't give you. That's not unreasonable. Okay, y'all tracking with me? Okay. So it's like this: faith's not against our senses. It just reveals what our senses don't. Actually, Blaise Pascal said that. He was a French physicist, you know, years ago, wrote that in a book called Thoughts, or Pensées was what it was called, which means thoughts. But when you think about it, really, for me to believe God and trust God about something that seems impossible is not illogical, because I know God, and I know God can do what He says He can do. It might not be done in the natural. Maybe it doesn't make sense in the natural, but I'm stepping out of the natural into the supernatural. I'm taking some more information that my natural doesn't give me. It'd be like asking a plumber to come fix your light. He knows everything there is about plumbing, but electricity is another field of information. Now, he can pull out his plunger, he can get his Drano and pour it down the socket, he can do all those things, but he won't be able to fix the lights. Not that electric knowledge is against plumbing knowledge, it's just it reveals things that plumbing knowledge doesn't reveal. And all his training as a plumber is not going to help him with an electrical problem, because that's another field of information. That's two kinds of knowledge. And so what we're dealing with in many cases is spiritual problems, supernatural problems. Are you with me? Things that we necessarily can't see, but they're still real. And then when you and I begin to pray, or we say we're going to stand on the Word of God, or we're going to seek God, or we're going to have the church pray, people think, oh man, you're a religious nut. You're some kind of Jesus freak. Actually, it's kind of weird to leave God out of the situation, I would think. It'd be kind of illogical to not take God's Word into account and to not bring God into the equation. In fact, to me, that's against reason and that's against logic. So, having said all that, it's reasonable to believe. Oh, be reasonable. You ever hear that one? Well, what they mean is, you know, you're not making any sense. You're all this believing God stuff, or trusting God for heaven, or whatever the case may be, or your situation. So, oh, be reasonable, meaning be reasonable without all the information. How is that even reasonable? Or I don't understand that. I would believe that, but I don't understand that. Do you think that you have to understand everything to believe something? I mean, how many of you understand how power plants work and how they produce electricity and all the wires that are running through this building now? Doesn't stop you from flipping the switch and letting the light come on, does it? You don't have to understand electricity to take advantage of electricity. You put your trust and faith, and rightly so, in people that know more than you do about certain areas of information. I mean, come on, when I pull up to the Dairy Queen and order a double dip, chocolate dip cone, which I hadn't done in a long time because I was on this paleo diet and Lord knows I need to be on it. But anyway, if I pull up that one and I say, I want a double dip cone, I don't say, now, wait a minute, explain to me exactly how that machine works. Because I'm not going to commit myself to this till I fully understand it. Would that be reasonable? If that's the case, then you might as well put a pup tent up somewhere, because every day you do things that you don't understand. You accept them on authority, and you trust them, and you put your faith in them, and you take other people's word for it. Anybody been to a doctor? Diagnosed you with something? Told you certain medicine you had to take, in some cases surgery? I mean, if you sat down, okay, doctor, you explain this to me in great detail. Now, I think you should know what's going on, don't get me wrong. But if you're asking him to explain every single step, procedure of that surgery and what it does to your body and the parts of your body that he's going to name and the parts of the machines he's going to use and the medication and procedures he's going to go through, first of all, you're not even going to have that kind of vocabulary. You won't know the terminology. You haven't been to the schools that he or she has been to. You haven't got the training, the 8, 9, 10 years, if they're specialists, even more sometimes, that they have. You have to put your trust in that doctor. And that's reasonable. Are you out there? In fact, it's the most reasonable, logical thing in the world to put your trust in someone that knows more than you do. And it's unreasonable for you to expect to understand everything they're doing before you commit. You understand that they know what they're doing, and you accept that. And the last thing you want to do, that's why God says, notice what he says here. He said, come, let us reason together. Not out there by yourself, because there's just a lot of things you don't know and I don't know. Amen? And that's not wild and that's not crazy. I mean, there's most things we believe we accept on authority. Who was the first president of the United States of America? Anybody remember? George Washington? Were you there? You weren't even alive then, were you? But on good authority, you take that. Isn't that right? Most of, okay. Anybody been to Papua New Guinea? Nobody? You've probably been to Elmo, hadn't you? Edgewood? Frog? If I told you that there was a place called Papua New Guinea, would you believe me? Well, sure, yeah. We've read about it, haven't we? We've heard people have been there. We've got Google. Goodness, we Googled it. It's on Wikipedia. It's got to be true, right? We take most of what we believe on authority. In fact, the vast majority of things that you and I believe or trust in, we take on authority. Every time we get on a plane, we're trusting somebody. We don't know how to fly a plane. We don't know how they build that thing. I mean, that big hulk of metal, all of a sudden, boom, it's in the air. Zoom, it takes off, and then it lands at this place that we paid a ticket to get to. We trust the system, and the more we use it, the more we trust it, obviously. The more we put our faith in people that know more than we do, the more we trust those people. So what's so hard about trusting God? I don't really get it. Why is that so hard? Probably because we hadn't been doing it. And that's why Jesus said, the Bible says here, notice what it says. It says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Then he goes on, he says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. You'll experience this as you obey it, not as you completely understand it. I'm not saying, this is not blind faith. This is faith based on our reasonable trust. What reason would we have not to trust God? I can't think of one. Why would we not trust the Bible? I can't really think of why we shouldn't trust the Bible. It's a very credible book. I know tons of people that have put their faith in it and had their lives changed. And miracles have happened in their life. And man, it's just amazing how many prayers they've had answered. They have no reason to lie to me about it. I don't know why I would distrust them, all their testimonies, and all the historical records we have, and to trust God when he's moved in my life. In fact, the more I'm willing and the more I'm obedient, the more I trust him. And we're trying to really get the cart before the horse, I think, because we're trying to understand before we believe, but actually we believe before we understand. Anybody ever been a kid? That's most of your buddy in here, I sure. Okay. Anybody had parents? Okay. We spent a lot of time trusting our parents before we understood what they were talking about, didn't we? But our trust in them led us into understanding. And the more we did what they said and followed what they said, the more we begin to realize what they said. My daddy, I remember he used to tell me all kinds of things, especially when I was a teenager, when I was smarter than he was. I was a lot smarter than Dad when I was a teenager. I got dumber and he got smarter as I got older. Are you with me? But I remember the things he said later, not the things he told me at the time. Hello. Because I began to understand through experience what he was saying. I began to yield myself to those same principles and things that he said. And the more I was willing and obedient to it, the more I understood it. I'll give you a scripture on that. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. That being the case, then I don't understand first. I believe first, then I understand, which is the way I have learned everything in my life, and you too. You ever been to school? I trust some of you have been to school, okay? And you probably went in there not knowing a whole lot, didn't you? And you probably were told certain things were true, didn't you? Right? Okay. And you just trusted that teacher to the point that you did what the teacher said to do, and you followed the examples, the principles, whether it was math, whether it was English, whatever it was, history or whatever, and you studied it out, and you begin to see because you obeyed and you took the course and you did the homework and you went through the motions. Chris is a coach of girls volleyball at the high school, and he goes through different, you know, exercises and motions and talks about how you do this and how you hit the ball, and you trust. They trust him, and then they, from doing what he says, then they begin to understand what he's saying. But trust is first and understanding is second. Amen. Through faith, we understand. Not through understanding, we believe. Understanding is the reward of faith, what St. Augustine said. So, not the other way around. As I believe, I begin to understand. Oh, go ahead, it's okay, go ahead. We're always trying to tell children that, you know. They have to reach a point of trust first, and then they act through the go ahead and they do it, and then they begin to understand it. That's kind of the way it is with God, and it's not unreasonable to believe God. It's not unreasonable to believe somebody smarter than we are. I hope you do that every day. Y'all sure are quiet out here. So he says, come, let us reason together. Not y'all reason amongst yourselves. Come, let us reason together. Let's reason with him. Let's don't leave him out of it. And let's don't reason by ourselves. And when you're in that waiting room in that doctor's office, don't you reason with everybody in that waiting room about whatever it is you're fixing to do or getting done or whatever surgery the doctor recommended. You know, you want to get counsel from the guy that knows what he's doing, he or she, the doctor, and not everybody in the room. Because they're not experts at this, amen, amen. So when you decide to trust God, go to God, amen. That's right. Y'all sure sound excited today. I don't know what it is, but y'all are just really on the edge of your seats, aren't you? Goodness gracious. I'm glad I decided to trust God. How about you? Amen. Understanding is the reward of faith, is what St. Augustine said. And seek to believe that you may understand, is what he said. Not seek to understand that you may believe. Well, I believe when I see it. Well, I might inform you, my brother and sister, that if you have to see it first, you don't have to believe if you see it. You only have to believe if you don't see it. Because once you see it, it doesn't require faith. Are you out there? I trust in you and your word on something because I don't see it and I don't understand it, but I trust you. And then when it comes to pass, I don't need faith for that. You know, a little trick here. If I were to ask you, do you believe I'm here? There'll probably be some people say yes, but actually you don't believe I'm here. I'm here. It doesn't require faith to believe I'm here when you're looking at me. But if I told you I was coming here, then you'd have to believe that I was coming. But once I'm here, I'm here. Make sense? I believe you're here. Well, no, you don't. You know I'm here. You're looking right at me. You see me. Your senses are involved here, okay? So when the senses aren't involved, it takes faith. But it doesn't mean that what we're believing for is not real. Gravity's real. I don't see it. Wind, I don't see it. Are you with me? All kinds of principles and things that I understand and believe in, you know, that I don't see them per se. I see the result of them, so on and so forth. Unseen things are not unreal things. Now, obviously, there's some things that are just made up or not real. I got that. But just because I can't see something doesn't mean it's not real. That's why we have five senses, because they operate in different realms and different areas. I mean, a sound is something you could only hear. But if you were deaf, you couldn't hear a sound. And a guy could explain to you on paper and show you a picture of sound all day long, you still couldn't hear it, because it's not that it's not real. It's just you don't have the faculty of hearing to detect it, you know. And so if you were blind, you couldn't see a sunset or a sunrise, or you couldn't see the beauty of a painting, or, you know, or you couldn't see the blue carpet. You'd probably go ahead and have a wedding here no matter what your clothes look like. Wouldn't mean a thing, you know, if you couldn't see. I thought I'd throw that out. But anyway, if someone tried to explain it to you, you can listen, you can hear, you can smell and taste and touch, but you couldn't see. And so you really couldn't, although you'd have to take on trust, on faith, you know, that I was telling you the truth. I hadn't been known to lie to you. I'm not lying to you now. I really is blue carpet. And although you can't see it, doesn't mean it's not real. Are you with me? It's just a faculty that you're not operating in. See, and that's what we're talking about. You do it every day with your senses. You do it every day trusting people that are smarter than you are. You take their word for it. And all we're talking about is realizing this is a big one. And I know it's tough, a hurdle to get over, but you probably need to get over it. You trust people all day long, okay, that are smarter than you are. You need to understand this, and listen closely. This is a big one. You probably ought to write it down. God is smarter than you are. Amen. Yeah, I know that's deep, and you have to think about it, but he's smarter than we are, isn't he? And so he says things maybe we don't quite understand, but I have no reason to doubt he's telling the truth, and I should know him well enough to trust him. Well, that's just crazy what you're believing. Eh, not so much crazy. What I'm believing is logical who I'm believing. I think sometimes we shift the focus on what we're believing instead of who we're believing. But if we're believing him, nothing's crazy. If he said it. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, that's good stuff. I want to encourage you to believe. See, I want to encourage you to understand that it's not unreasonable to believe. It's not against reason or logic to believe. It is the most logical thing in the world to believe someone who has known to do what they say and have our best interest in mind. You need to trust your parents. You need to trust those in authority. For the most part, I understand sometimes those in authority can go wrong, but we shouldn't have a total distrust of everything and everybody that we can't physically prove and logically explain. Oh, goodness gracious, man. You get in a car, you drive off. You don't know how that car works unless you're a mechanic. You trust the mechanic. In fact, if something goes wrong, you take it to the shop. You trust they know what they're doing. And you turn it over to them and they fix it and you pick it back up. You still don't understand. You just know you had this bill and you spent some money and it's running good. And if it's running good, you take it back again if something messes up, because you trust them. They did a good job last time, didn't they? You don't understand, but you trust. You trust. See, we got this big thing about understanding. We got to understand. Oh, you don't. You're not even being fair, because you don't use that same rule in anything else in life, except when it comes to God's word. We play that game. Well, I don't understand it, so I just don't understand that. I don't see that. Well, there's a lot of things you don't see and understand. Trusting those in authority, trusting those smarter than we are, is smart. Amen. Amen? It's smart. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts. This helping you at all? Amen. Good. You need to tell your face, because I'm not getting it. No, I know you're getting it. That's good. Hallelujah. Now, I want to encourage you. I want to help you. I want to make sense of this in one sense, biblical sense, spiritual sense. Don't leave out God. Don't leave out the word. I mean, you're leaving out the ultimate fact of all facthood here, aren't you? I mean, if you're trying to come to a conclusion, make a good decision, why wouldn't you take in all the information? And the most important information is what God has to say. The most important factor is him in our decisions and in all that we do and in all that we pray and all that we act out in our lives, in our marriage, in our business, in living our life down here. Listen, I don't know if you realize that there's a battle going on. There's a battle going on for your soul, going on for your marriage, going on for your sanity, going on for your health, going on for your destiny, your future. And you and I have to enter the fray. We will lose by default. We got to stand up and fight. And if we fight, we win. And we need to fight with wisdom. We need to fight with the word. We need to fight with God on our side. Hallelujah. Amen. and make sure we're on his side. Hallelujah. But he will intervene and he will help us and he will do what we can't do. And he'll take up the slack where we lack. I mean, in our knowledge and our wisdom, we don't know. He knows if we'll trust him. I don't know everything. I love what the psalmist said. He said, I'll not be afraid of the terror by night, the arrow that flieth by night. Because arrows in a battle were something that was unpredictable. It was an unknown. I mean, you could face an enemy. You had a shield. You had a sword. You could see him, but you couldn't see the arrows. Are you with me? And he was trusting God to take care of what he couldn't see. The arrow that flies by day, or, you know, because those things came at you and you were fighting. You didn't know, man. You couldn't see. You hadn't have time to look in the sky the whole time you're fighting. You just had to concentrate on what you're doing here. But he understood that if he was in God's army and he was defending God's cause or fighting God's cause, that God would take care of what he couldn't take care of. He'd take care of the unknowns. There's a lot of unknowns in life. I don't know everything, but I know him. I know him. Hallelujah. I can trust him. Praise God. I don't have to understand everything. I don't have to understand that everything's going to happen to me in life. I've said this many times. Brent and I, you know, have made this decision a long time ago. We're not perfect. I understand. I'm not perfect at this, but we're getting better at it, getting gooder at it. I don't know everything that's going to happen to me. I don't know everything I'm going to need to do. I don't know every decision I'm going to have to make because I don't know every detail of the future. Who does? I don't want to know all the details of the future. I know where I'm going. That's good enough. Amen? I know who holds the future. That's good enough. But listen to this. I do know this, that whatever happens, because this is what we've always done, it's always worked when we did it, and I've seen it happen over and over and over and over and over again. Although I don't know everything that's going to happen, although I don't know everything I need to do, I do know this. Whatever happens, we're going to trust God. I know that God's helped us every time I've trusted him. I have no reason to doubt that he'll do it in the future. I've had things happen I couldn't understand and couldn't make sense of, but I knew God was good and God's for me. He's not against me. Are you with me? And I knew he'd help me if I'd call on him, and you know what he did? Time and time again. And it's kind of like the little kid on the swing, you know? They're just relentless, aren't they? You push them a little bit and they go, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. How long do you do it again? You know, grandpas, they wear out the horsey here on the leg here. You finally, the horsey gets wore out. But we need to be like little kids and say, God, when something happens, do it again. Do it again, God. Do it again. Every crisis, every pain, every trial, everything that hits us, come on, get us out of this. You got us out of that last one. We survived that last one. Lord, do it again. Do it again. Not, oh, here's another trial, here's another attack, here's another crisis. No, here's another victory. Here's another testimony. Here's another message. Hallelujah. This is going to look good when I get over this one. Hallelujah. I'm going to have a testimony. Woo, I'm going to stand up in church and talk about this. Things are looking right for a miracle. There's no way out of this one. Boy, this is going to be a testimony. Amen? Because we're trusting God to do what we can't do. I don't believe God's throwing this stuff at you. I don't believe he's the one that's, you know, making a cry. He's not hitting you and then healing you. We have an enemy and it's not God. But I do know God sure can help you and he sure can undergird you and he sure will and he sure promised he would. Excuse me for getting excited. But y'all just not helping me here. I'm going to have to go get happy myself, I guess. But Acts 27. You're going to love this one. It's going to be good. You ready? It's going to be great. It's going to be good. It's going to be huge. Acts 27. Now, this is Paul. This, to me, is a fascinating account. I'm going to bring all this together, okay? About trusting God and about come let us reason together and be willing and obedient. Trusting God when you don't quite understand everything, but just keep trusting God. A lot of things I don't understand. You don't have to understand everything. You just have to trust God. Amen? It's all God asks you for. Jesus says, when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Didn't say, he that comes to God must understand everything in great detail. He that comes to God must be a sage, a scholar, a philosopher, and someone of great wit and wisdom. No, it just says he that comes to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That it does pay to believe God. That God really will do what he says. Just trust him. Amen? See, we get all involved in the how and the ways and the means instead of just the who. Let God figure out how. He's got a million ways of doing it. Isn't that the case? We're believing God for something, but we're kind of really not believing God for something. We're kind of believing God to do something a certain way. Isn't that right? We're going to believe this is going to happen, so when that happens, then I'll get my answer. And that doesn't happen. But if you just keep trusting God, God winds up doing it another way. Hello? So if we're not careful, we're believing God to do something a certain way. In other words, we still have our reasoning and our natural understanding involved in this process that God can do this, but now there's only one way he can do it. Or two ways he can do it. Or three ways. And then those three ways fall and we're done. And yet God's got a million ways he can do it. Ways you never thought about. In fact, God doesn't really need you to tell him how to do it. He just needs you to believe him. Isn't that right? Well, I got to understand this. Okay, fine, all right. Would you explain to me how the blood washes your sins away? Somebody want to explain that to me? I'm on paper, just mathematically, simple explanation. How does the blood wash your sins away? I'm already gone. Okay, it's over. Stick the fork in. I just got to trust it does. I just know when I called on him, he saved me. I know he changed my life. Something happened on the inside of me, and I have not been the same since. Woo! Are you with me? Don't understand all that. I just know it happened. I know it did. I called on him. He heard me. He heard my cry, and he saved me. If you knew me before and you knew me after, you go, no, that's not the same person, and you'd be correct. I'm not the same person I used to be. If God had showed you who I was before I got saved and said, there's your pastor, you wouldn't be saved today. Because God sees what we don't see. God sees what we can be. Amen? Hallelujah. God did what I couldn't do. I was most likely to fail, like most likely to go under, kicked out of high school, you know, drugs, jails. My own daddy was a deputy sheriff, policeman at one time, deputy sheriff. He put me in jail one time. He kept me out of jail a lot more than he did put me in jail. But I got saved and my life changed when I was 19 years old. Turned my life over to Jesus Christ and my life has never been the same. This has been the best ride I've ever been on in my life. Hallelujah. And it didn't do anything but get better. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more into that perfect day. Listen, the best is yet to come. Amen? The best is yet to come. Hey, quickly, I'll wrap this up. Okay. Acts 27, verse 9. Now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, Paul was on his way to Rome now. And he was on a ship, had a Roman guard there with him. And they were headed to Rome. And it says, now when the time was past spent, because back then they had certain seasons that they sailed in and certain seasons they didn't because the wind was too bad and the waves were too bad and the sea was too rough. And when they sailed, they didn't go on ocean liner. They didn't get on a cruise ship. They got on boats that weren't that big and that were very susceptible to storms. And so they'd always keep land in sight. Well, you couldn't do that in certain times of the year because the waves are too rough and the weather, the wind, and so on and so forth. So it says, now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because they were entering into the wrong season, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive, everybody say perceive. Now he didn't figure this out. He wasn't smart. He didn't have a lot of wisdom. He wasn't a shipmaster or anything like that. It's just something in his spirit, supernatural spiritual knowledge, okay? We might say a gift of the word of wisdom or a gift of a word of knowledge. He says, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the laden in the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion, there's an authority figure, believing the master, there's a guy that's an expert in the natural, and the owner of the ship, someone that should know something about ships, more than those things which were spoken by Paul, the centurion believed them, the natural reasoning, instead of some spiritual reasoning, word from God, he perceived in his spirit, this was not going to be a good deal. I'm sure we could relate to that. I'm sure God's spoken to us before about something not to do, and we were smarter than God, and we knew it was the thing to do, and we did it, and we wish we hadn't done it. Are you with me? Or hopefully we got that nudge or that check there was something in our spirit says, no, this is not going to be a good deal. And everything in the natural looked good, but yet we knew God well enough to say, okay, I'm not going to do this. And then you found out later, praise God, you didn't do it. Are you with me? Now see, that's not illogical. That's not against reason. That's against reason that only takes in some of the information. Let's be honest. Because people will look at this and they'll say, well, see, that faith was totally unreasonable. Well, no, because somebody smarter than the shipmaster, somebody smarter than the centurion, somebody smarter than the owner of the ship, who we know as God, our Father, told Paul, not good, don't do this. So the most logical thing would be to put your trust in the smartest guy in the room. And it goes on, 11th verse says, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master, the owner of the ship, and more of those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven where they were staying was not commodious, it was not commodious. Well, you don't want to stay in a non-commodious place, do you? Wasn't comfortable. Wasn't a great place to stay. We didn't want to commode there for the rest of the, that sounds terrible, didn't it? We don't want to be commodious for another few months in this place. Because that's what was going to happen if they didn't go. They had to stay there for a few months till the weather changed and the season changed. And the place was not commodious. I love that King James, don't you? I think this is, I don't know if it's King James or New King James. I don't see any yeas, very forsooth, peradventures, and hitherto. So it must be New King James. The haven was not commodious to winter in, and the majority advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete and lieth toward the south, west, and northwest. Much better place, much better place. And when the south wind blew softly, everything lined out, didn't it? Supposing they had obtained their purpose, they loosed thence and they sailed close by Crete. But not long after that, there arose a great wind called Euroclydon that nobody predicted and nobody knew about except God. Are you with me? Now notice this. Here's an interesting point, and I'll have to wrap this up. Y'all getting this? Is helping you? Because in life, you know, we're used to trusting those in authority. We take all the information that we can. But if we're not careful, we're not cautious, we're not aware and awake and sober here, we'll often leave out God. And in this case, the man that sailed ship said, let's go for it. He's an authority. This guy knows what he's talking about. Centurion, he's another authority figure. He's ready to get that other place. And the owner of the ship says it's okay. And the greater part, the majority, we took a vote because, you know, hey, everybody, when they vote, the majority's always right, aren't they? They were right in the flood, weren't they? Well, no, they weren't, were they? Right judgment day? Well, no, actually, they're not always right, are they? Because narrow's the way it leads to eternal life and broad's the way it leads to destruction. Many there be that find it. But anyway, the majority said it's okay. The experts said it's okay. Even the south wind blew softly. Man, this has got to be good, right? It all looks all lining out. It's all perfect. Yet there's this check in your spirit, and there's this knucklehead over here, this Jesus freak over here, that's saying he heard from God and saying that it's not going to be a good deal. Are you out there? So what should you do? What's the most logical thing to do? Well, honestly, the most logical thing to do is obey God, even against all the experts. Because there's many experts in life that will tell you things, and they are telling you what they know, but they don't know everything. They're not bad people. They're not trying to hurt you. They just know so much. And so the higher you go up the chain, you're finally going to get to God, and when God says something, boy, you better believe God. Because God knows about everything. He knew about the wind they didn't know about. And all you got to do is read the rest of this chapter, and you know how that thing turned out. Didn't turn out so good. And Paul got to bring out the old, I told you so. I love that. No time getting on that. But after the storm, he said, you know, he said, an angel visited me tonight, and he stood by me of whom I serve, who I am and who I serve. And he told me that we're going to be all right, but everybody needs to stay in the ship. And he says, sirs, you should have listened to me when I told you not to go on this. The old, I told you so. He got to throw it out there, you know. But he was listening to God, and they weren't. So is it logical to listen to God? Yeah, it is. In every case, it is. Even when you have the best information, you still don't have all the information till you have the ultimate information, which is what God says. Now, having said that, thank God for everything every good thing man can do. You know, we're for doctors and for medicine and for surgery. We pray for doctors, pray for hospitals. We're on the same team. We're trying to get people well. We're for, listen, I believe in prosperity. That means I believe in work. I believe in jobs. I believe in all that. I believe in medicine and surgery because I believe in healing. But let's just get straight here. We trust God no matter what. We put him first, amen? And we definitely put him on the case, on those doctors and on that medicine. Take that medicine in Jesus' name, amen? Take that surgery and pray for that doctor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But the highest authority would be God. And the most logical thing for you to do is to trust him. In fact, really, it would be unreasonable for you not to trust God, not to pray, not to seek him, not to put your life in his hands. It would be unreasonable to refute anything he said here. You need to put your faith in this. Ooh, all he wants to do is bless you. He's just trying to help you. Amen. Stand up with us. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.